have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. The Lenten season is upon us. The time of year when many of us make sacrifices to give honor to God for the ultimate sacrifice that was made for us. The word sacrifice means that we give up something that we would rather not, but we do it anyway for some greater good. What are you willing to sacrifice this Lenten season? Many will fast by giving up meat, sweets, or something else that they believe they tend to do in excess. Why not consider making a financial sacrifice? Emphasis on giving to churches and charitable organizations is usually most heightened around the Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday season. However, remember that there are so many that are less fortunate than ourselves. Most charitable organizations financially struggle to support the needs of the many worthy causes both locally and around the world. So why not sacrifice perhaps monies that you budgeted for entertainment this month and give it to a friend in need, a church, or the charitable organization of your choice? You may also choose to donate some of your time to help those in need. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul said, "I show you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Giving of ourselves, our time, talents, and our money is a great way to change the lives of others and for us to enrich our own lives by honoring God through our giving. Although it often seems as though I do not have enough time in the day to allocate towards something else, I have never regretted time spent helping others, and somehow I actually find that God helps me to become more productive with the remainder of my time such that I don't miss a beat. The Lenten season is a time to reflect and meditate on the sacrifices of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What better way to honor him than to give to someone in need, just as he gave of himself to save us? This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr.
How you doing, everybody? Here's your gospel news for this week. One of the most popular gospel choirs of the 1990s was Donald Lawrence and the Tri-City Singers, comprised of Donald Lawrence plus 34 members. They were all from the Tri-Cities of Spartanburg, South Carolina, plus Gastonia and Charlotte, North Carolina. The choir debuted with the 1993 album, A Songwriter's Point of View, on the gospel-centric label. The album eventually reached number 2 on the gospel charts. Second album, Bible Stories, followed up in 1995, and the choir released a holiday LP, Hello Christmas, in 1997. Lawrence and the Tri-City Singers signed to EMI Gospel in 2000, releasing the album TriCity4.com. Go Get Your Life Back follows in 2002. Restoring the Years, a greatest hits album with 2 new tracks, appeared in 2003. The next year saw the release of Lawrence's solo album, I Speak Life. The Tri-City Singers announced that the group was calling it quits in the spring of 2006 and recorded their last concert album, 2 albums, Finale Act 1 and Finale Act 2. Lawrence's second solo album, The Law of Confession Part 1, arrived in February of 2009. Lawrence's next release was entitled YRM, Your Righteous Mind. It appeared in 2011. Here's our moment in Black history for 2023. Who was Madam C.J. Walker? Well, Madam C.J. Walker invented a line of African-American hair products after she suffered a scalp ailment that resulted in her own hair loss. She promoted her products by traveling around the country and giving lectures and demonstrations, and eventually established the Madam C.J. Walker Laboratories. Her business led her to become the first African-American woman to become a self-made millionaire. Walker was born Sarah Breedlove on December 23, 1867, on a cotton plantation near Delta, Louisiana. Her parents, Owen and Minerva, were enslaved and recently freed, and Sarah, who was their fifth child, was the first in her family to be born free. After her parents' passing, Sarah was sent to live with her sister, Luvinia, and her brother-in-law. The three moved to Vicksburg, Mississippi in 1877, where Sarah picked cotton at the age of 14 to escape both the oppressive working environment and the frequent mistreatment she endured at the hands of her brother-in-law. Sarah married a man named Moses McWilliams on June 6, 1885. She gave birth to her daughter, Alilia. Moses passed away 2 years later, so Sarah and Alilia moved to St. Louis. While in St. Louis, Sarah Breedlove met husband Charles J. Walker, who worked as an advertising exec. During the 1890s, Sarah developed a scalp disorder that caused her to lose much of her hair, and she began to experiment with both home remedies and store-bought hair care treatments in an attempt to improve her condition. Her husband also encouraged her to use more recognizable names like Madam C.J. Walker, by which she was thereafter known as. In 1907, Walker and her husband traveled around the South promoting their products and giving lecture and demonstrations on her Walker method, involving her own formula for pomade and the use of heated combs. As profits continued to grow, in 1908, Walker opened a factory and a beauty school in Pittsburgh. And by 1910, when Walker transferred her business operations to Indianapolis, the Madam C.J. Walker Manufacturing Company had become widely successful with profits that were the modern-day equivalent of several million dollars. In 1918, at Irvington-on-Hudson, about 20 miles from New York City, Walker built a mansion called Villa Luaro. Villa Luaro was a gathering place for many luminaries of the Harlem Renaissance and was designated a National Historic Landmark in 1976. Madam C.J. Walker died of hypertension on May 25, 1919, at the age of 51. In 1981, the Madam C.J. Walker Manufacturing Company ceased operations. A line of cosmetics and hair care products bearing the name Madam C.J. Walker Beauty Culture is available at Sephora retailers. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Songs. Number 10, Walk on Water by Lena Bird Miles. 9, I Believe, Fred Jerkins. 8, Tamela Mann, Finished. 7, Impossible, Pastor Mike Jr. 6, New, Ty Tribbett. 5, Call on the Name, Marcus Jordan. 4, Here Comes the Joy, Dietrich Haddon. 3, Lord, I Hear You, Lucinda Moore. 2, Goodness of God, CeCe Winans. And this week's number 1 comes from Smokey Norfolk, I Still Have You. Well, that's your top 10 songs, our moment in Black history, and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
Good evening to you, Nina Taylor. Thank you so very much. Such a wonderful and awesome show you're bringing to the table. Good evening, also, the First Lady Sharon Richard. Beautiful job. I know Black History Month has now come to a close, and we are in the month of March. So welcome. To you, and also to you. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr. This is Open Mic with the Bishop and Company. As you already heard, we're a show that likes to tackle kingdom current events and kingdom issues from a biblical perspective. Tonight, we're going to try for the second time to close down what we started way back in January as we talked about the seeds that we sow and the ground they're sown in. But before we do that, let me welcome my partner in godly crime, not that we're committing any crimes per se, but she's become my partner in development stages and doing an awesome job. I want to say hello to Pastor Anda Henderson, the Associate Pastor of Jerusalem Temple, under the guise of Bishop Derek Jefferson. Blessings to you, my sister. How are you today?
Blessings, sir. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. I am rejoicing and being glad in it. I thank and praise God for this day and for this opportunity. Amen. And for the word of God. Amen. This has been a great series as we're closing out today in this area. But we thank and praise God because God is moving in and through his words to make us better. And I'm just so excited to be here tonight.
Amen. Now, there are others who join us from time to time. I'm going to see if Apostle Faye August has made it to us. I know she travels quite extensively, and sometimes she's able to be with us. Other times, she's just not able to be there. Apostle August, have you made your way to the airwaves? If so, come on and share with us. Say hello to us. God bless you. Okay, Apostle August, going once. Apostle August going twice. I guess she didn't. She wasn't able to make it. Let's find out who else is here. And I do this, folks, because we have a variety of people that pop in far and near, and sometimes they'll text me and say, I'm on. Well, when I ask for you to speak up, I expect you to open your mouth. Amen, 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 amen. Is there anyone else that's joining us tonight that we may not be aware of? If so, please let us know.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Elder Yvette Early coming all the way from Connecticut.
Well, bless your heart, and let me tell you about this lovely young lady right here. She's going to get tired of me doing this, but I never get tired. You know, the Bible says your gifts and talents will make room for you and bring you before great men. And God has placed her in some very phenomenal places, has brought her in front of some phenomenal people. She is a singer, songwriter, and gospel artist. If you go on YouTube, look up Yvette Early, look at the song Walk With Me, Lord, and you will just enjoy it. She's also been a part of a couple of plays. We actually both worked together in a couple of plays back in the day, and we took it to some several places. And trust me, I'm going to just say this, and she'll agree with me, but I'm going to try not to say too much. But some days I just wish the play was canceled. But oh well, you know, it was a great play. Nonetheless, how are you doing tonight?
I'm blessed, and it's an honor to be on this call tonight with you all. Just to tune in and hear what the good Lord says.
Hey, amen. Let me find out if there's anybody. Is there anybody else here that wants to be part of our discussion tonight? If so, please speak up so that we know you're here. Going once, going twice again, going twice for the third time. Okay, it's gone. Nonetheless, I gather it will be the three of us, and as always, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, our producer. I don't ask her to say too much, and I'm not going to ask her to say anything tonight unless she just wants to, because sometimes she's preoccupied trying to make other things work. And, you know, I'm learning, leave the producer alone. Let her do what she do, and we just pray God's hand be upon her as we move forward. Nonetheless, we're getting ready to get into our topic for tonight, and I'm going to ask Pastor Anna Henderson if you would please read the scripture for me, Elder Early, if you would please pray us in, and we will begin our journey.
Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading is coming out of Mark, the fourth chapter. I'm going to start with verse 14, and it says, "The sower sowed the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan come immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. So when they heard the word, and received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure it, but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring much fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. As in your hearing, Mark 4, chapter verses 14 through verse 20, in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. We thank you now, Father God, for this day that you have made truly for your children, God. This was the day that you made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, as the evening comes upon it, you continue to watch over your children, and we thank you for your continuance in watching us. We thank you that you never sleep, nor do you ever slumber, and you're always looking down on your people. So, Father God, as we go on through the show, Father, open up the ears that someone may hear what thus says of your words, and move the rest of us and allow our feet to be doers of your word. We thank you now. Forgive us for our many sins and trespasses, and allow us to forgive others as well as you forgive us. We ask these and our blessings in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And we thank each of you for your contributions. Now, as we talk about the seeds that we sow and the ground we sow, that you heard Pastor Henderson read out of Mark 4, and it talked about four different parcels of ground, and we don't want to keep beating a dead horse because the race is really over. We talked about the hard heart or the stone, the hard ground, the stony ground, the thorny ground. We finally got a chance to start talking about good ground, but we started discovering that even in good ground, there are some difficult places that need to be addressed and need to be cultured and need to be prepared so that the seed, meaning the word that is planted in a good heart, is ready to receive. Many of us have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet there are many of you listening to us by way of radio, even at this very hour. You know, and I understand how you feel, because it seems like the church has taken a step backwards. It feels like apostasy has broken out, and it's like the church is not, as some people would say, as relevant as it once was. That's just a lie, for the truth of the matter is the church is still very relevant, and even more so than now, because if nothing else is standing, if nothing else is firm, if nothing else has its stability, is deep-rooted, it is the word. Jesus himself said on one occasion, he said that the gates of hell would not prevail against his kingdom, and he meant that, and we have to recognize and realize that we're in a position now where we can take it to the next level, the next dimension. Jesus did tell us that the work that he did, we'd also do, and greater works would we do. What greater work than to get out there and to sow seeds with the expectation of a harvest, meaning seeing souls come into the kingdom? But I want to tackle it from a threefold perspective. I want to look at it from a logical standpoint. I want to look at it from a carnal standpoint, and then I need to look at it from a spiritual standpoint. So in this opening dissertation, we're dealing with the good ground. My question to you ladies, and it doesn't matter who starts off first, if we are going to prepare to plant in good ground, what is one of the first things we need to do in order to plant in good ground? Talk to me. Pastor Henderson, as a matter of fact, let me let you go first, and then Elder Early, you come in. What's some of the things we need to do or to prepare to get ready to plant in good ground? Pastor Henderson, take yourself off mute. Leave that phone wide open. You know, Bishop hates
Amen.
Dead air.
Amen.
Bishop.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Yes, when I think about the good ground, I think about the word of God, because the word is life-giving, and because the word is life-giving, then in order for that ground to be cultivated and to bring forth a harvest, it needs the seed of the word, and that word has to be received. And so because the seed is alive and it's penetrating, it's going to take that we first receive the word of God, believe the word of God, and allow that word to grow up in our hearts. And I believe that God is really concerned about our hearts, you know, more than anything else. I was talking to a young lady today, and we were talking about, you know, fasting and consecrating and different things. And, you know, those are all good things that help to fortify that good ground. But ultimately, God is looking at our heart, and he's looking at the condition of our heart and the motive of our heart. And what keeps our motive and a condition of our heart right is the word of God, because when that word is not there, then we don't have anything to gauge if our heart is good ground or not good ground, but that word is our gauge. So I say the first thing is to receive the word and to believe the word, because that word is going to give us guidance on how to go from that point on.
Amen. I thoroughly agree with you on that. Elder Early, you got anything? You got an observation that you might want to share with us?
Well, even with what she said, I totally, totally agree. And when you said that about planting the seeds, I often think about my grandmother, when she always had a green thumb for the garden. And the first thing I would watch her do was get that ground tilled.
Yes.
So we can come up on that good, so that we can come up on that good soil. Get that ground tilled. And then she would have to add in certain, like, topsoils or fertilizer,
you know, to, mm-hmm. so that the vegetables can grow. And she would separate. She would go through the rows and rows and then plant her seeds. And they'd be spaced out just right so none would be overcrowding or choking one another. There they go, that ground. And also to make sure none of them seeds would fall into the cracks of the cement of the ground. Even when she was doing her flower beds and stuff, that none of those would do, because if the plants would either not come up, or if it would come up somewhat and it would die because it wouldn't be on good soil. But if you're planting your vegetables and fruits and stuff on good soil, you're going to get some good crop. But when the crop isn't good, you're gonna cut back. You're going to prune it back in order for your fruit to come out even so much more better, because you don't want to grow vegetables or fruits and then you got something spoiled up there. You know, that one bad apple spoiled a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So we got to be careful of how we can. Exactly. But we also have to be careful how we associate ourselves, because, see, God is pruning us back. You know, we weren't that good fruit all the time, so he's pruning us back so that we can sprout and be of good fruit and go out there and produce more. You know, so when
you
said
know,
that,
said
I think about that,
right
too.
There. Now, we want to stay right there for a minute. The pruning process. Why is it that none of us as believers really want to go through the pruning process? I've heard people say, I don't want to go through the pruning process because it's hurt, because it's uncomfortable, because mm-hmm. it's like I can't take it. And what is it that we think, you know, that's like somebody growing their fingernails and their toenails and never cutting them. I mean, not that, you know, folk who grow fingernails nowadays, they trim them, they paint them, they make them look good. But I'm talking about those people who grow brittle, ugly toenails, brittle, ugly fingernails. They don't trim them, they don't buff them, they don't polish them, they don't do anything to them. Why is it that we cannot handle the pruning process? What are we afraid of when we talk about it? And then there are those of us who God is trying to prune, and we keep taking the shears out of God's hands. Think about that, y'all.
No.
I mean, God's trying to cut back some dead areas of our life, trying to get rid of some useless things in our life, trying to cut off and lop off unproductive areas of our life, and we go right back and pick that dead branch up and try to reattach it as if it was going to grow back on it. What is wrong with us? Come on, talk to me, y'all. Anybody, it's open.
You know, it's so easy for us to be miserably comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Miserably
and
comfortable.
It is
for
miserably comfortable. Because they're used to that. They're used to that. We become used to that. But when God is trying to move us and he's trying to prune us, and yes, we have to take some chastisement as well, because he does chastise those that he loves. If he didn't love us, he would just leave us out there. But a lot of us don't want to get in an uncomfortable position.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right.
We really don't. I don't want to get in that.
Go ahead.
Yes. I totally agree that uncomfortable position, you know, and most people don't like the uncomfortableness, and most people don't like change, but change is good, and, you know, and change can be a good thing, and sometimes we think about being that comfort zone, and sometimes because of the selfishness of our own self, you know, we just want what we want, and what we want to do, and we're not willing to have change. We're not willing for the pruning to take place, not recognizing that the pruning is going to help us to grow, not to cut us down, but to make us even more so.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with you on that, but I would add this to it. Some of us don't like for our faith to be challenged.
Mm.
And in the pruning process, there is a challenging of your faith. There is a trying of your faith. And James said it best when he said, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith is working a patience in you. And in the process of that patience, a lot of people are not recognizing that not only are you developing a patience, you're developing a confidence and a trust in the living God. If God said a thing concerning you, God's going to do precisely what he said he's going to do. I like what Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. God knows where he wants to take you. He knows what he wants to do with you. God knows what he wants to do in you. God knows what he wants to do for you. And yet some of us, like I said earlier, don't want God to take nothing off. No, God, I think I'll hold on to that fornicating spirit. I'm just hypothetically saying everything ain't about physicality. Some things, you know, and see, here's where a lot of us have lost sight. We tend to think everything is sinful. There are some things that are weights, and then there are those things that are sins. And you got to know the difference between a weight and a sin. A weight is something that you do that is not necessarily sinful, but it does have the ability to impede progress. And it becomes a weight because you rely on it so much. You know, it's like we can define what insanity is. It's doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And in those weighty matters of life, we do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Now, I'm going to say something, ladies, that's going to kind of raise some eyebrows, and it's going to cause some people to challenge what I'm about to say. But I'm going to show you something in life that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And we never equate the two and even the three together because we try to separate it. The church often says that gambling is a sin. Now, I'll tell you this. We can say gambling is a sin. Depends on how far you take it. But what I need you to understand is the principles behind gambling are not necessarily sinful. After all, which one of you has an IRA, a Roth, a money market where you do aggressives and moderates and conservatives and things of that nature? You're putting your money out there with intent and purpose to increase your money. Nowadays, we're dealing with small cryptocurrency and the Bitcoin, and people are mining things. You're putting your money, and yet we're sitting there calling gambling a sin. How are you calling something a sin that you do every day? There are people that have made thousands of dollars with Bitcoin mining and cryptocurrency, and yet you go to a casino, you're a sinner. You're going to hell. Y'all talk to me about that. Come on, talk to me.
I really couldn't touch it. I couldn't touch it because, to tell you right, I'm gonna tell, you know, I did a Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because we tried, and you're right, it's legal. So isn't going to the store and getting a Powerball ticket or something. The churches may talk about these things being a sin, but how much sinful money is going in that collection plate?
Come on now. I mean, that dollar didn't come in and save, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized. That dollar's seen a few places and it's been, wait, I'm going to say this respectfully. That dollar has been in a few spaces. Come on now. Y'all read between the lines.
Yeah, I don't care
if it was the booty cheeks or the front of the thong, whatever the case may be. That it's been somewhere, and it's got to. If the dollar could tell a story, Lord have mercy. Let's move forward. But I said all that to get to this particular point. God is trying to lop some of that stuff off of us to get us prepared, prepped, and ready, because he has better, because he has greater. God prefers that we trust him with all our heart, that we lean not to our understanding, and we're leaning to our understanding. We turn around and call ourselves trying to help God out. You know, God promised you he's going to make you a millionaire, and so you're running around trying to play the horses. You're trying to do this, the power. You're doing all this. Well, God, I'm going to help you out. God don't need your help.
If God needed
your help, he would have came to you. He would have said, Henderson, I need you to go down to 5th Street to the corner market, Joe's Fish Store, and I need you to play 3775. And those of you listening, don't be running to no doggone machine. Come on, give me 3775 straight and box it. I know I'm going to win. The preacher said it. Sorry. I'm not sure if that's going to work. So, you know, I'm going to let that go right then and there. But my point is God wants to remove these things from us and put us in a position where he can minister through us. And, you know, sometimes we don't understand the best way to increase literally is to decrease. I'm going to say it again. The best way to increase is literally sometimes to decrease. When you give yourself away, when you give away, you know, the things that God blesses you with to bless somebody else, God puts you in an awesome position to be a blessing to somebody else, you know. I mean, I keep telling folks, you were not blessed and benefited for your own self. God didn't give you what you have so you could be the main and the only benefactor of it. God blessed you so that you could be, and you don't have to have a whole lot. I'm learning this. You ain't got to be super rich. All you got to be is willing. You know? All you got to be is willing. What do you say about that, Anderson?
I totally agree. I think willing, that having willingness and that heart, amen, turn toward God. I was thinking about that ground as she was talking about how they took us over that ground, you know, and those growing conditions. And how you harvest that ground makes a difference on the condition of that heart. And so it is our choices. Our choices help to shape that good ground. So every time we make a choice with God, every time we receive that word and we believe that word and we respond to what the word has said, it creates the harvest of fruitfulness, and it also prepares our ground to be shaped for that ground that will bring forth that harvest. So I think our life is made up of the choices that we make. And so we want a good life and a good harvest and to be that good ground, then we have to allow our choices to be those God choices that help to frame our life. As you were saying earlier, I was thinking, you know, the Bible says some things are lawful but not expedient. You know, there's a lot of things you can do to the ground, but it's just some things that's just not healthy for the ground. You know, there's different soils, there's different things that you can use. And some pesticides, you know, instead of helping the soil, it really hurts the soil. And, you know, so you have to be careful on the choices that you make so that the soil can always stay fruitful and fertile so that the word of God can be flexible and can mold our hearts in the way that he wants to mold us.
Let's talk about those pesticides. Spiritually speaking, when we're sowing the word into our heart, last night in our Bible study, we talked about scripture memory. And in talking about scripture memory, we took the scripture out of Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What is it about hiding the word in our heart? I mean, when you talk about pesticides, we're hiding everything in our heart. I said this last night, and I'm only repeating what I said last night. And if you ladies remember it, you bring up whatever I might forget. We remember telephone numbers. We remember zip codes. We remember our social security number. We remember our passwords to our phones and our passwords to our computers. And we remember passwords to bank accounts. All these things we remember. Why do we do that? Because all these things are important. But when it comes down to the word of God, it seems like we turn, I'm not going to use the word stupid because we don't turn stupid. It says it's as if we have no real regard for the value of that word that God wants us to understand. And memorizing it is not enough. Allowing it to become part of your spirit, planting the word, the seed of that word in your heart so that when you get to a time of trouble, the Lord can hide you in the pavilion of his love by bringing back to your remembrance the very word that you hid in your heart. Anybody disagree or agree with that?
No, I agree very much. Sometimes you don't know when your back is up against the wall, wherever you are. You may not even have your Bible with you.
Thank you.
But you have, but you have the word in your heart. The word is in your memory. So if you're coming against, up against some fiery darts and you're coming up against some mean people, you can recite some of them words. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but the spirit of a sovereign, the spirit of love. Oh, yeah, we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against the principalities of the wickedness of the dark world and all the dark rulers in this world.
you know. So we have to know what we're saying, not just saying it just to be spitting it out. There's going to be situations when we're coming up and ain't going to be nobody walking with you but God.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to call out these things to God. Lord, you promised that you'd never leave me. You said you would never turn your back on me. You won't forget me. Where are you? I need you now.
Yeah.
We have to come down to, we have to do this because you know why? Satan is, he is doing what he's doing.
And you know what?
Let
me throw this in there. When God told us in his word in the book of Isaiah chapter 12 to put him in remembrance of his word.
Yes.
God, why would you want me to put you in remembrance of your word if you didn't want me to recall your word and what you said? The truth of the matter is, and many of us, even us on this line, we've grabbed this scripture and we have ran like a wild man. God is not a man that he should lie.
Neither is he
the son of man that he would have to repent. If God says a thing, it shall come to pass. So if he tells me to put him in remembrance of his word, what he's telling me in essence is, I know what I said, and I know I said I would do. Come bring it to my remembrance. If I said it, I'm going to perform that word because my word is never, ever at any point in time going to ever return unto me void, but it's going to accomplish that which we send it out to do, and it's going to prosper in the thing whereunto it is sent. Beloved, we have to understand that if we're going to sow on good ground, we have to use the proper fertilizer. And see, a lot of people fail to realize what fertilizer is. Fertilizer isn't just some chemical that you put in the ground that has a bad stench to it and, you know, causes flowers to grow. Those people, God allows mean, ugly, hard-hearted, despicable people sometimes to be around you. They become the fertilizer in your Christian growth. You know, how would you know to love if you didn't have somebody hating you? How would you know have mercy if you didn't have somebody who was merciless around you? And I'm not just talking acquaintances. I'm talking family members. David said it the best in Psalm 55. Y'all remember this. He said, it was not my enemy that reproached me, for then I would have pointed. Neither was it did hate me, but did magnify himself against me, for then I would have hid myself from him. But it was you, my brother, you my equal, the one who sat down to bread with me, the one who slept in my bed, the one who stayed in my house, the one my water. It was you. And the first thing I think about, you want to holler your little traitor, but you can't call him a traitor because you got to realize God used, I put something on Facebook, I think yesterday or the day before, and I said, why is it that you have these individuals who want you to come support everything they do, and they never come support anything that you do. And I got some answers, and of course I got some super spiritual people on there, you know, but the key word is selfish. We fail to learn how, if we're going to use the fertilizer of life in our spiritual walk with the Lord and our growth in the Lord, the fertilizer now becomes those people who are walking contrary. Why do you think Jesus told us to pray for those who despitefully use us? There's a reason for that. There's a lesson in that. There's something that's the fertilizer of life that's going to help your spiritual growth. We're in lesson four, by the way, for the Bible study, but that's quite all right. That's the stuff that's going to help you get stronger. You cannot get deep-rooted. You cannot get stronger in your roots and your grounding in the Lord if you don't go through anything. A lot of us don't want to go through a test. We don't want to deal with a trial. We don't want to go through trouble. We want to avoid tragedies and calamities, setbacks, and all this kind of stuff. But all this is basically designed to help put us in a better position. When you look back, I like what David said on one occasion. He says, I was young, but now I am old. But never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And there's a reason for that. The confidence we have in the God of our salvation, the God who has brought us through this and has brought us through that, brought some of us through the red seas of our life. And when I say the red seas of our life, there were things that should have overshadowed you and drowned you. There were things that should have caused you to throw in the towel and yell, "I quit. I can't take this anymore." There were things that put you in a position where you said, "God, if this is the best that you can do for me, I do bad all by myself." Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. But God.
But God.
Somebody ought to say, "Thank God for the word but." That's a message. Oh, early leave it alone. Obviously, don't touch it. Don't touch that word. I can't write it down. Holy Spirit, help me remember that. Thank God for the word but. But God. Come on, y'all. Talk to me. And if we're talking about the fertilizers of life, I mean, every one of us has a testimony of something that somebody did to us. But God.
But God.
Henderson, watch this, Earl, you're going to like this. Henderson, I know you're waiting for Boaz to show up, but Earl, you and I have been down this road already. Marriages that failed because we didn't do what we were supposed to do, but we discovered that the person who was supposed to be with us was that Psalm 55 person. It was not my enemy that reproached me. That person was walking with us, talking to us, knew our plans, knew everything we were about to do, and at the same time, they were counteracting to what we were doing.
Yes, they were.
And we never realized it until they revealed their hand. It was like playing poker.
Lord.
You thought you had four of a kind, and they're sitting there with a royal flush, and they don't show it to you until the last second. And then they're collecting all the chips, leaving you for dead. I'm sorry. Did I go there? Yes, I did. Go ahead, somebody.
You did. It's all right. Sometimes we gotta meet the people where we gotta meet the people where they at.
That's right.
We cannot be up here trying to be all holy and high and mighty. God is using us to capture His people, and we have to meet people where they're at.
I agree.
After all, Jesus did it.
Now Henderson, she said, meet people where they're at. That don't mean with a stick either. You know, that don't work.
Sometimes you can't but no.
I learned a long time ago, you can't beat nothing into nobody. Ain't no sense in you trying. Anything else you got as we move forward? I know we got a few minutes left. What else have you got for me, Pastor Henderson? What else you got?
I was thinking when you were talking earlier, you know, about the afflictions and the different people that come up against us, you know, and we look at them as enemies. We look at them as stumbling blocks. But God uses all of those things, amen, to develop our heart and to develop us to be good ground, like you were saying. So when the winds come, the first wind doesn't take us down and doesn't take us out. We might bend, but we don't break. You know, and I was thinking about what David said. It was good that I was afflicted. You know, a lot of times God, you know, we look at it as a negative thing. Oh, I wish that hadn't happened. I wish I didn't go through that. I wish, you know, but God does all those things together for our good, because what it does, it all becomes fertilizer for the good ground of our heart. It teaches us how to be merciful. It teaches us how not to be selfish. It teaches us how to persevere. It teaches us how to be strong in the Lord and the power of His name. All of the things that we go through is fortifying us to be that good ground. So that when the storms come and the different things that of the elements of the earth, you know, come and the different situations in our life occurs, we have a fortifier that's already been laid in our life. That even though we may go through some hurts and some disappointments, it's like, yeah, but God. That's where that but God. Thank you, God. He always causes us to triumph. You know, so hallelujah. We thank God, amen, hallelujah, that He allows us, amen, and trusts us with our test and trusts us, amen, with the ground of our heart to be cultivated by His word. Amen. And, you know, God puts boundaries in His word for us. We look at them as restrictions, but they're not restrictions. God is really trying to keep the ground of our heart safe, you know, trying to keep our mind safe. That's why He said, "I don't want you to go here and there." That's why He said, "Come out and be separate." That's why He said, "Don't intermingle and don't touch the unclean thing," because He's trying to keep our ground of our heart safe. Amen. He's trying to keep our mind sound.
trying to keep our emotions down, trying to keep our bodies healthy. He's trying to protect us. So the boundary of God's word is for our protection so that our ground can bring forth the good seed and bring forth the harvest, amen, that brings him glory. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, this is a good discussion, and I mean, really, it is a good discussion because we all think that because the seed falls on good ground that there are no issues, no problems. We don't go through anything. And the truth of the matter is, for the seed falling on good ground is literally falling on mature ground, ground that has had the opportunity and chance to go through some things, ground that needs to be broken up, you know, that needs to be churned over, that needed to be what's that word when they take the pitchfork or whatever it is and they break up the ground and they turn it over so they can soften it up so that if there's anything, any bugs, any trees, any twigs, any rocks, anything that's underneath, it has the opportunity. Yeah, you got to till it. You got to pull it up. It's got to come out. Just don't put the seed down. And, yes, the ground looks good. And let me say this. Good ground is literally ground that has potential. So when you say good ground, we're not talking about flawless ground, perfecting ground. We're talking about ground that has great potential for growth.
That's right.
And that's really the whole thing right here as we walk this walk in the Lord. And, you know, we can look back, and I'll say this to you, Elder Early, because we go way back a little ways. And, you know, I remember when I was minister in the gospel, I was never expecting to become a bishop. It isn't something, I know the scripture says when not one desires the office of a bishop, but you know what, God let me know a long time ago through my spiritual mother, the late Maddie Atkinson Darden, that I was going to be a pastor, that I was going to be a pastor to pastors, and a pastor to pastors is a bishop, basically, and a bishop really is an administrator, one who oversees and assists in developing and helping to permeate growth within an individual. Right. So with that being said, you know, I see where God has brought me to, but I also see what he's brought me through because I've had to deal with some situations and some circumstances. I've had to deal with some not-so-loving people, and if it had been left up to me, the back of the church, you know that spot where nobody could see you? The Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. I was like ready to choke the fool out of somebody. But you know what? To God be the glory, because, I mean, you know, and you find yourself having to discipline yourself, exercise self-control. You have to find yourself having to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. You find yourself having to walk in the attributes of love. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Mm. And when that part where it says love is long-suffering, we don't want to do the long-suffering. I'd rather suffer, whoop your tail for a little while till I get tired. And when I get tired, then I'll have some mercy. But you know, we can't do that. In a time when we just want to just beat somebody to the floor, we have to maintain and constrain and allow the Spirit of God to minister to us. I can tell you stories right now, you know, let's talk from finances. Individuals that owe me money and they just walked away as if they don't owe me a single thing. I had to let them go. Let God deal with them. Because if I deal with them, somebody getting hurt. Okay? End of story. And that's just not my Father's will for my life. He called me to set the example, to be the trend, not to be walking into the norm of what we see on a day-to-day basis. You know, it's a funny thing. The church always wants to advocate Jesus Christ, but we do not want to advocate the character of Christ. Not everybody. This is some. Mm-hmm. Not everybody. This is some. And that don't mean you run around here with this, oh, praise the Lord, oh, thank you, Jesus. No, you are not a carpet. You are not a linoleum floor. You are not a rug. You ain't nobody's sidewalk. I know you don't have to respond to everything in life, but there are some things that are just, quote, unquote, not permissible. End of story. Anybody got anything they want to add to that?
No. I mean, there's so much that you can, but no.
Amen.
You said a mouthful, Bishop. You said a mouthful. You really did.
Know,
it was a mouthful of truth.
I'm not trying to to disparage or display or downplay anybody. Let's talk real talk here. If we are going to grow in the admonition of the Lord, if we are going to take on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh, if we are going to be rooted and grounded in Christ, there are some things we have to receive and accept, and then there are some things we do not have to put up with. Okay? Now, I'm sorry. As a flower in the garden of the Lord, I'm not going to allow you to pour a pesticide over me that's going to do me damage. Sorry about that. Not happening. Mm-hmm.
I have to. I really truly have to agree with you because you. Well, you and I we talked a couple of days ago about my situation. So I really, really would have to agree with you on that factor there, because there are some things that God allows you to go through. He'll allow you to go through anything that if you don't want to take His word for it. And I'm learning. And I remember about the story you said about, do I have to tell this? Do I have to tell you about the man that was shipwrecked and God sent the boat, the plane, and what was the other one? The boat, the plane, and the
man shipwrecked and
yep.
the ship fell apart and the man
he was
prayed
waiting
for God.
The Lord.
He was waiting for the Lord to send somebody to rescue him. God brought another boat by. He says, no, I'm waiting for the Lord. God sent a plane by, a helicopter. He says, no, I'm waiting for the Lord. God finally sent somebody with a raft or a life raft. And he said, no, I'm waiting for the Lord. Finally, the man drowned and died. When we got to heaven, he went to Jesus and said, Jesus, I prayed and asked for your help. He says, well, I sent a boat, I sent a helicopter, and I sent a life raft, and you didn't reach out. The moral of that story is God sends help. And if you don't recognize it, you're going to be dead in the water. Get it?
Yeah,
dead
yeah.
in the water? Anyway. But I got something I shared with, and Pastor Henderson, I got to share this with you. This is why we cannot walk in the carnality of our mind.
Mm.
I shared this with the elder earlier today,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to, as we come to a close for today's, I'm going to share it with you, the general public. A lady went to the bank to make a withdrawal, and when she got to the window, the lady in the window told her that your account is overdrawn. The lady, in her sarcasm, looked at the teller and said, so are your eyebrows. Well, the lady ended up getting escorted out of the bank by the branch manager. I mean, there's no need of you being rude when you know you're wrong. You know what I mean? The moral to that story is no need in being rude when you know you are wrong. You know what I mean? You're wrong. And that's all there is to it. She turned around and told her, your bank, your account's overdrawn. And she looks at her and says, so are your eyebrows. Poor fella, poor sister, I mean, there was no need for that. But we do these things. Think about it. We do these things. You know?
Yeah. That's sad
because
I'm thinking about using that on somebody.
You need to stop. Anyway, we've come to the end of another show, and Elder Early, we invite you to come back and be with us again next week if you so desire.
Oh.
We're going to come up with a brand new topic, and I think, Pastor Henderson, how about if I let you pick this topic because I picked the last one. All
okay,
right.
Yes, sir. We'll stay on that.
So,
yes, sir.
Now, I want to remind everybody, and by way of announcement, starting this coming Sunday, Power to Stand is celebrating their third-year church anniversary. Our theme comes from 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 7 and 8. Our theme is, I'm taking back what the devil stole. And for those of you that desire to be with us on March the 5th, Dr. Walter Teague, my younger brother in ministry, we come out of the same home church, Agape Christian Center, right there in New Haven, Connecticut, is coming to Maryland to share a word with us. This is an awesome teacher in the word. We got a special guest psalmist, and she's actually on the phone with us right now. I ain't going to ask her to sing nothing now. Show up for church Sunday. this coming Sunday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. You can go on social media to find out what the whether you do TikTok, whether you do Facebook Live, or if you want to come to the Zoom room, go on social media, go to Bishop Ernest E. Richard Jr., my page, look at the flyer, get the Zoom information, and come on out and celebrate with us. Now, I did say to my members and to those who desire, we were asking for a $300 donation, and it's going to represent the 3 years that God has allowed us to move forward. We're looking to move into a building. Now, I don't want none of you to get holy bound because, you know, when you ask for $300, some people just clam up. No, don't clam up. You do what you can do. If you can't do three, do 350, do 250, do 275. Do what you can do, whatever that is, to come be a blessing. If, and I say it, if you believe that Open Mic with the Bishop is a blessing and you want to be a blessing to this ministry, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to consider sowing into this ministry. There's a point in time, my panelists right here, I would love to be able to pay my panelists at some point in time for their time, efforts, and energy. And I'd like to put together something where we can do a meet and greet where people can come and meet the panel of Open Mic with the Bishop. But, you know, it takes finances to do all these things. So please, ma'am, please consider, if you desire to sow a gift, go to our Cash App. It's $Pastor's Corner. That's $Pastor's Corner. And just sow whatever the Lord places upon your heart. Also, coming up in November, Elations Honors. Dr. Kimmy Robinson puts together an awesome program each and every year as we honor people in the community down in the St. Louis area and around the country and around the world. And we're looking for you, you, and you to come and to join us. We have great workshops where we can learn some things and open up some treasures where God can take us. But we need you to come and be part of it. Well, I'm going to stop right there, Pastor Henderson. As a matter of fact, since she's a guest of ours today, Elder Early, there might be somebody out there that doesn't know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of their sins. Why don't you take a moment to lead them in prayer and help them to know how they can surrender their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Father God, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. He is our refuge. And Father, there may be someone on the call today that do not know you, but only if they be still and hear your voice speaking to their hearts and in their minds, would they want to get to know you. So Father, we don't know who it is, but you know. You know by them listening. Father, touch their hearts, touch their minds so that they will get to know you. Draw them somewhere where there is a Bible teaching church, oh God, that will tell them of the most wondrous, wondrous things of you, oh God. So, Father, our mission is to continue to give you praise, to give you honor, and to give you glory, because your word says that if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you. So we will continue to lift you up. Hallelujah. We will continue to lift you as you draw, and they drink from you and see that they are satisfied and filled with your word and with your love that springs forth like a rushing spring of water. So we thank you now for that man, woman, boy, or girl who is on the call. Father, work in their hearts and work in their mind. And to you, you get all of the glory. These and all blessings we ask in your name, Jesus. There is nothing too hard for you. Nothing too hard. Nothing anyone has done. You changed Saul to Paul, and you used him mightily. There is nothing too hard for you. And I thank you in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Kimmy, please get our outro ready. We thank you for joining us. Any last words, Pastor Henderson, before we shut down?
Amen. We thank and praise God for each one that joined us on this evening. We pray that you receive something from this word today. Continue to cultivate the good ground of your heart, that you will be fruitful because God has great things he wants to do in your life. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, and we will hopefully see you all on our next podcast for Open Mic with the Bishop. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richards saying, may the peace of God continually rest, rule, and abide in each of you. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, the ball is in your court. Have a great night, everybody.
Amen. Good night.
Amen. Good night.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $PowerToStand or on PayPal, Pritchard719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.